Learning is being integrated with other HR solutions to be able to deliver full experience for learners. So I'm very excited to see what AI is going to do for that process.
You're listening to Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. On each episode, we sit down with key industry experts to discover more about what's happening in the world of learning and development, from current trends and insights to the most valuable lessons learned along the way. Join us for a fresh perspective on all things training and the best direction forward. Here's your host, Leanne Lankford.
Hi, welcome to Learning Leader Spotlight, the podcast where we interview learning leaders of today to help the learning leaders of tomorrow. I'm your host, Leanne Lankford. I'm the president of Training Pros. Training Pros is a contract L&D staffing company. We like to say, Training Pros, when you have more projects than people, let us find the consultant to start your project with confidence. I am super excited about my guest today. It's a longtime friend of mine. She and I worked together many years ago, and we have remained friends, and I'm so happy to have her on the podcast. Let me welcome Eunice Gerou. She's the Director of HR Learning Solutions at Morgan Stanley.
Thank you so much, Leanne, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. So let's dive right in, Eunice. Why don't you give our audience a 60-second overview of who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So Eunice Gerou, my title is a Director of HR Learning Solutions at Morgan Stanley. And in that role, I function as a subject matter expert for the learning management system, commonly known as LMS. And my role is really to support training owners across the firm, making sure that both required training and non-required trainings are successfully integrated. Now, outside of that, I also do support our LMS product releases, which happen 3 times a year. And in that role, I lead the review and testing of products that enhancements that come out every 3 times a year. And I have learned a lot in that process, really being able to test early adoption features and making sure that we are keeping the functionality of the system going and there is no interruption in business functions. Now, outside of what I do for the firm, before I joined the firm, I actually work for an engineering society, an organization that offers education credits to engineers and licensing. And in that role, I worked on 2 major projects that I'm very proud of. The first project is I led the implementation of their learning management system from scratch. And actually continued to do all the other processes that are concerned there, consolidating data, being the LMS admin until I left. And in tandem with that, I was leading the conversion of Flash to HTML5 library of content that had over 100 courses in them. So I acted as a project manager for a group of instructional designers and recruiting them, adding them to this project and working very closely with them to make sure that the revenue for their society is not interrupted.
That's quite a big background, and you must be an expert by now on learning management systems.
There's no arriving. There's always room for improvement, but I love the space. I love the challenge that it offers, and I'm looking forward to what's to come.
What is the biggest change you've seen in learning and development in your last maybe 5 years?
Absolutely. That's a good question, because when I started in this field back in grad school, learning management systems were my biggest, area. And I want to set expectations with the audience here that while L&D is wide, my focus has been learning management systems from the beginning to now. So that has been where my focus has been. And as far as how things have changed, LMSs were just seen as that content repository platform. And now we have shifted to learning experience platforms with time. And we've seen that change even we are the cusp of having AI take over the world. And I see even with that, we're going to even have more of that shift from these systems, learning management systems being as content repositories into learning experience platforms for employees and everybody else.
Okay. There's definitely some big changes in the technology happening. Where do you think the biggest changes, what do you think the biggest changes will be in the next 5 years in learning and development?
So I am going to continue in the world of AI because I think I'm excited about that as far as learning is concerned. And I see, so previously, even in my previous work experience, I've seen where, you know, learning happens in silos. So I have been just leading a learning platform out there away from everything else. Now we are seeing that learning has become more of a part of HR in general, human resources. We are seeing that the leadership is embracing learning. Learning is being integrated with other HR solutions to be able to deliver full experience for learners. So I'm very excited to see what AI is going to do for that process. Yeah, so that's what I'm looking forward to.
I'm definitely looking forward to what we'll be able to do with AI. I don't think I would be a novice with AI, but yeah. I really am having a hard time envisioning all of the different possibilities with it at this point.
You're not alone. I wouldn't say you're alone because I have friends in the industry who are having the same problem. So change is never easy, they say, right? So AI is going to bring change and it's up to us as learning leaders to embrace that change and just open ourselves to the basically proficiencies that it can build for us, which is what it's going to do is to help us do things better. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, definitely. And every time I go to a conference now, I'm going into the AI sessions, and truthfully now, half of them are AI sessions. They're all about what we can do, how we can do this with AI and this with AI. And that's come a long way in the last year, because a year ago, there'd be one AI session and everybody would go to it. And now you have a choice of four or five to pick from each hour at these conferences.
Yeah, but I'm finding the industry is kind enough. So there has been a lot of intro sessions just out there with webinars from the L&D space, for example. People just want to introduce people to the space itself, tell you what AI is, what can you expect? And I think that's going to help people, you know, be more embracive of the change with time. Not to say that you won't have some resistance, of course. That's just normal in this industry. But I think the more we build that foundation with people, introduce them to that space, calm their nerves as far as change is concerned, because obviously there has been a talk of AI is going to take people's jobs. I do not think it will, but obviously we are really early into this process. So we will see what change it brings to us.
That is a big fear that I hear people have, but I think we're starting to realize it's not going to take our jobs. It's going to accelerate what we can do. And then I do believe the demand will increase as we are able to produce more and see more results and see more impact. Then the demand for more from us will happen.
That is true. That is true. So exciting all around for us.
Yes. Yes. It's an exciting time. Definitely full of change. All right, so let's shift gears. Can you share with our audience who was your most influential professional mentor?
Certainly. So as an immigrant to this country, as you mentioned, I came here for grad school with an undergraduate degree that I needed to find out how to use it to begin with and how to apply it in a foreign country with different cultures and all that. So I mean, starting from there, I've just been so lucky, I would say, to have found mentors in this field, to have found soundboards, both from my master's degree all the way to when I moved to Atlanta to find a job, running away from snow at that point. I didn't even know I was looking for a job. I just needed and knew I had to get away from snow. So yeah, but I would say, Leanne, you have been one of my greatest mentors so far, most influential mentor that I've had, because not to go too deep, but you and I crossed paths at ATD on an evening that I didn't even know who you are. And fast forward a few months later, we had a casual interview to understand what I do. And a few months later, I think you had an opportunity to talk a little bit more about opportunities that you had and to give me my first role in this industry. From that onset, you have continued to be a really valuable mentor in my career, talking to me about what's important as an L&D professional, how to always put your best foot forward, how to always do your best, and how to integrate my African roots into this world of the American society in L&D. And so thank you so much for giving me my first opportunity in this industry. And to give back, I've actually now been mentoring young college leavers in the same who are entering the L&D field at ATD, which is the Association of Talent Development.
This episode is brought to you by Training Pros, the award-winning contract staffing agency that works exclusively with learning and development professionals to match the right consultants to client projects. If you're in corporate L&D and have more projects than people, let the industry practitioners at Training Pros provide you with the right L&D consultant to start your project with confidence. Find out how we make finding quality consultants easy by scheduling a consultation at www.trainingpros.com.
I love that you're paying it forward to the next person who needs mentoring in. So what does it involve being a mentor to someone? I know that they have a formal mentoring program at ATD. What does it involve for you?
Absolutely. So what I knew for sure is that I wanted to pay it forward, as you call it. And I did not know what that entails, but ATD reached out to me during COVID, actually, and asked if I could be a mentor. And we all had a whole lot of time, more than we've had in our lives. So I was like, why not? So I just delved in and we had people who guided us throughout the process, telling us what we need to observe for, how to interact with mentees and things like that. But I was fortunate to take on a woman who was actually transitioning from elementary school education to corporate L&D, and she had no idea how to do that. And just being honest, I used the same tricks. They're not really tricks, but practices that I've learned from interacting with you. It's just give what you know, teach what you know, share the best practices that you've learned, help them navigate their career the way you know how, introducing them to things like LinkedIn Learning, how to follow popular mentors in L&D, and how to get instruction from those L&D leaders. Yeah, so that's basically what I did. And the good news is, at the end of, I think it was a 3 month period, that person actually got a job in corporate America, still within COVID. And I have never met the person in person. So all this happened virtually. We've never met, but she transitioned to a successful instructional design role with corporate America. So yeah, so I'm happy to give back any way I can help. I'm here to support.
That is a real success story, because it is so hard to make that transition from school teacher into corporate L&D, and so many people are trying to do that. I'd love to hear that you were able to help one person. If all of us could help one person, what a difference it would make.
The world of difference, a world of difference. And when you have gone through that experience, which I have, paying it forward is, at least in my case, something that I'm looking forward to even do more in my career. So thank you for all you've done for the industry.
It was my pleasure to have you come and work with me for a couple of years. You were extremely valuable to me and you really helped. It was actually really hard to tell you that it was time for you to go to corporate. But, you know, you had to move on and actually start your career, not just work with me. But I definitely miss you a lot. And you've grown way beyond anything I could have ever taught you. So I'm really happy to see how great you're doing in corporate these days.
Thank you. And the same thing applies to you. I'm happy all is going well on my side.
Yes, life is good. So we were discussing briefly an organization called ATD. For anyone listening at home, I just want to explain what that is. It's Talent Development, or AT, Association of Talent Development. There's a national organization at td.org, and there's local organizations in all the major cities. So Eunice and I met at ATD Greater Atlanta, but there's one in almost every major city around the U.S., and it's a great way to meet other L&D professionals and raise your professionalism level.
That is well put.
I just want to make sure, because if the school teachers are listening to this, they'll want to know about that organization. Eunice, what is one skill you think is really important for L&D professionals to have today?
One skill that I think is really important, I would say, I'm going to go back to my futuristic, my vision of having learning not work in silos anymore. So that integration between learning and leadership and HR leadership and integration with HR systems in general. So I would say the one skill that we need to all embrace is really being able to advise the business, I would say. So while we are learning and sometimes we are over there, we need to be able to speak the language of the business to really make an impact. So sitting at those tables, really being on those, coming to the table with solutions, coming to the table with questions. What do you need? How can I help? What are the needs? What are the challenges that you're facing? All those questions, I think, are going to be helpful and are going to help us be more partners with the business instead of being two separate worlds. So I think, yeah, that's a skill that every learning person might use. And I have learned to do, having come from a world where we worked in silos before. So that's what I would advise every learning leader to do.
Fantastic. Okay. Where do you get your industry news and information?
To be honest, I've stayed very close with ATD, the Association of Talent Development. Just being honest, I was a member. I'm no longer a member, but I still receive emails and what's going on, invitation to webinars. So that is one of my sources of information. I also do follow Josh Bussin. I don't know if you've heard of him. And he's a leader in HR technology. So I follow him and get the very latest in the industry.
I think those are two great sources. Yeah. So I definitely follow ATD and I do Josh Bussin, but I like a lot of different influencers in our industry. So those are great, great resources for anyone listening at home. Now, the final question, this is my favorite one because I get a great reading list. And in fact, I was just working on writing a blog article about 10 books recommended by learning leaders. What book would you recommend anyone read who wants to become a learning leader?
Absolutely. So the book, I have read different books, but I just finished reading Marcus Buckingham's Love Plus Work, How to Find What You Love What You Do, and Do It for the Rest of Your Life. And I have that copy here for those who are interested. So this book has really given me some insight on how to not just go after the next shiny thing, but look inside and decide what is it that really inspires you? What is it that lights you up? The one concept that he shared, and going back a little bit, I actually met Marcus for the first time at an ATD conference in 2018. And he was a keynote speaker in San Diego. And he gave a speech that I have never forgotten. He talked about this one concept, the concept of finding your red threads. And those red threads being, you know, activities that you do effortlessly, activities that make time feel like it's just flying by. You don't have to think what's around you. You just keep going. And he labels them your superpowers. So he encourages, in the book, he encourages everyone to identify your superpowers and nourish them and also encourage other people to do the same. So the reason as to why I recommend the book is because I think every learning leader, and again, this is not specific to learning and development, but every people leader, I think, would benefit from this book. I want to be clear that our jobs will not be 100%, and that's what he argues in the book, will not be 100% made of red threads, but we should strive to have a 20% threshold in our everyday jobs to avoid burnout. So it's been a great read, an eye-opener, and I would recommend it to anybody who's interested in advancing their people skills and their leadership skills.
So I can't wait to read it. It actually sounds really great. I've definitely, over my too long career, found that when you can figure out what about your job you love, what are those things that make you get up in the morning and try to focus mostly on those, that's when you really enjoy your job and you really can make great strides and do great things.
I would agree. And again, it's been an eye-opener. So it's given me insight to help think about, you know, when I see the way I interact with people, whether at work or outside in my personal life, it's just finding those red threads and helping others find them.
I love it. I definitely am going to put that on my Audible. You know, I get a monthly free Audible as my subscription, so that will definitely make the list. I can't wait to hear it.
And if it makes you feel better, I have listened to it 3 times on Audible.
Yeah, it's a great book.
And I guarantee you, you are doing it while you exercise, I'm sure.
No, while I commute to different things.
Okay. Commuting to work is a great time to listen to a book.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's great. You have been a fabulous guest. I think you've given us a lot of great stuff to share with our audience. And as a thank you to you, we're going to plant 5 trees in your name. That's our charity here, Training Pros. We plant trees all around the world. We've planted 4,000 trees to date with our reforestation partner. And so we're going to plant 5 trees on the Monarch Restoration Project, where we're planting trees that attract monarchs along their migration path to help replenish the monarch population.
Wow, that is amazing. Thank you so much, Leanne. I appreciate that.
You're so welcome. And thank you again for being our guest. That's it for this week's episode of Learning Leader Spotlight. I hope you can join us next week for our next great guest. And thank you again, Eunice. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a great day as well. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.